Church, and we are just so happy that you're with us. This is your first time or second time. Hopefully you're getting a feel for us. We love the Lord and we love you, and we want to minister to you and believe that God will speak to our hearts. The ushers are going to be passing by you, passing off a delectable cookie to you. So just hold on to it or eat it if you can't control yourself, whatever you need to do. That's how much we love you. You are welcome. In case you were not aware, next week is Easter Sunday. Yeah, it's kind of a big deal because we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's usually a well-attended service, so we're going to be sitting out some extra chairs. And this is where you come in. You guys ready? Bring a friend. Bring a friend. And I'm not done with you yet. If you consider yourself a member of the Church of Whistling Pines, you're down. You're down with us. Then what I need you to do is a very, very difficult task. I believe probably even more difficult than inviting somebody. It got really quiet. I love it. When you come in, I need you to move all the way up front and all the way into the center. Oh. This used to be the splash zone, but I've worked on my spitting, so you should be okay. But if you get any, it's anointed. In the name of Jesus, it's anointed, all right? So, in all seriousness, next week, we will start with a sunrise service, meeting at Kim Lynn's house at 6:30. There should be directions or at least an address in the bulletin. It will be in the update this week. We want you to come out at 6:30, celebrate the resurrection of Jesus with a sunrise, and also we're going to have breakfast together. But that's not over. That's not it. Then you need to come back here with your full self. Come back here and we'll celebrate as a church along with the guests that you bring. So that's next Sunday. All right. Good deal. Well, we're continuing our series, the book of Proverbs. We're not going verse by verse. We are taking it as a survey. We're kind of looking at Proverbs based on different topics. And this week, we're going to talk about gossip. This is a subject that if you're like me, you probably think, man, I sure hope Sally's listening to this because Sally really runs her mouth. And you're not really remembering that Sally loves to talk to you and that you like to tell Brad what Sally said. And so basically we are all guilty of gossip, and we're going to kind of unpack what gossip is according to the book of Proverbs, and not just what it is, but what it isn't, and how do we deal with it? How do we deal with our heart? I wanted to start off with telling you one of the most dramatic stories in Scripture to me. Book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 6, the prophet Isaiah gets a glimpse, gets a vision of Jesus, the Lord sitting on his throne. It says, I see the King, the Lord, sitting on high on his throne, and above him are seraphim or angels that have six wings. Two wings are covering their faces, two wings are covering their feet, and two wings they're flying with. Can you see the picture? It says, his robe is filling the temple of God. And he hears the seraphim, the angels singing, calling out to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Isaiah says that the sound of the angels saying, holy, holy, holy to the Lord God Almighty, shakes the building, and it causes the doorposts and the lintels to shake, and it causes smoke to fill the temple of God. And Isaiah, I believe, drops to his knees and he calls out to God and he says, I am undone. I'm ruined. Woe to me, for I am a man of unclean lips. And I live among a people of unclean lips. And a seraphim flies over and grabs with tongs from the altar of God a live coal, and then flies over to Isaiah and touches his lips and says, your lips are clean. Your guilt is removed. Then Isaiah hears, who will go for us? We need to send somebody. And Isaiah says, send me. Isn't it interesting that when Isaiah sees Jesus on his throne, sees a vision that we all pray to see, his first reaction is, I'm an unclean man. My lips specifically are unclean. And beholding your beauty, beholding your majesty, beholding your glory, your kingship, I realize that I live among a people of unclean lips. Also notice that before he says, send me, his lips are cleansed. And I feel like we are a people, and I include myself, of unclean lips, and we're saying, send me, God. Send me. I want to serve you. All the while, we haven't dropped to our knees and said, I'm a man, I'm a woman of unclean lips. This is serious. It's not just Bertha and Myrtle sitting and talking on the phone like in the Andy Griffith Show or something. This is serious. And it's something we all fall prey to. We all fall short in. And that's gossip. You received a cookie. It represents the thing that was hard for me to pass by as a kid. All along, I've never been a sweet guy. Watch it. Never been a sweets guy, I should say. I could take or leave cookies or cakes or pies or whatever, but these shortbread fudge-striped cookies that my mom used to get at Dollar Store or Save-A-Lot or wherever it was, we got these at Walmart, by the way. Sorry if that offends you. Was the one thing that I couldn't seem to pass by. And I want to talk about how gossip is so appealing to us. It's just like that cookie. We've got to grab one. I used to be able to eat two a day. That's what I was allowed to eat when she got a package of them. And my sister and I would always sneak more. This is confession time. It was because it was so appealing to me. The book of Proverbs says this, Proverbs 18:8, the words of a gossip are like choice morsels. If you want to write in your Bible, you can say like a fudge-striped cookie. Words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down into the man's inmost part. They look so appetizing. They sound so great. Why do we call gossip juicy? Because anything that's juicy is good. A juicy steak. It's juicy. We want to hear the juicy details. Please tell us. Yeah, I want to hear about it. What happened to Sally? Come on, tell me. And what happens is it's just like a morsel, something that we crave. We go after. It's appetizing. It's appealing. But it goes into our inmost parts, and it does damage to us. It does damage to the person we're talking about. Proverbs 12:23 says, a prudent man, or one who thinks about the future, thinks about how he will end up, keeps his knowledge to himself. But the heart of fools blurts out folly. It's just so appealing. I just have to tell you, I can't stand it any longer. You've got to know information that I know, because then I look important. I look like people tell me things. I look popular. I look more important than the person that's fallen into problems that I really want to tell you about. We're a fool if we blurt it out. We're wise, we're prudent if we hold that knowledge to ourselves. And we're even more so, I might add, if we next time say, I don't want that knowledge. So what is gossip? Usually when I talk about gossip, some people believe that if I mention Lynn in a conversation, that suddenly I'm gossiping about her because I mentioned her name. Not always. So in order to talk about what is gossip, let's first talk about what it's not. Simply talking about someone who is not present is not necessarily sinful. Now, it certainly can be, but it's not necessarily sinful. Here's some examples. Jesus talked about John the Baptist. John wasn't there. It was good things, though. It was, there has not been a man born such as John the Baptist. John the Baptist was not there. His disciples didn't come running up to him and saying, Jesus, could you please stop gossiping? I mean, really? Serious? Peter told about Cornelius' conversion. You remember? Cornelius was no longer there. He was still at his home. He came back to the disciples and said, I was in a Gentile man's home named Cornelius, and this is what happened to his household. He was not there. He was not present. He mentioned him. It was not gossip. Telling unfavorable things about people not present is not always necessarily sinful. Now, the other examples you might think, well, yeah, it's because you're saying good things. But even when we say things that are not necessarily flattering to them, it may not be sinful, but I'll say this is much more dangerous than the other. Usually you shouldn't have too much of a check in your spirit if you're saying something good about someone behind their back. I was talking to Dean earlier today, and he was saying some great things about Mike Reed. It totally was not gossip. He was saying, I look up to him. And that would be very flattering to Mike Reed. It certainly wasn't gossip. But so just because it's unfavorable doesn't necessarily mean it's sinful. Although it certainly can be, we need to check our motives. Here's some examples. Jesus warned his disciples about the errors of the Pharisees. Now, Jesus did it in front of the Pharisees, but he also did it behind the Pharisees' backs. In other words, when they were not there. Paul warned Timothy in a letter of specific men, and he named them by name, who were teaching incorrect doctrine, and to stay away from them. There's times where we need to warn one another. There's times when we need to be specific about something, and it's not necessarily gossip. Tracking with me? All right. So what is gossip? I want to talk about morsels of gossip or flavors of gossip. You know, we have some fudge-striped cookies of gossip. We have some apple pies of gossip. We have different things that may appeal to you a little bit more than the other. One you might be able to pass by, but the other, ooh, I'd really like it. By the way, you can eat your cookie at any time. And don't feel bad because I'm using that as gossip and like you're ingesting gossip. I didn't mean it that way. No condemnation in the name of Jesus. Okay, morsels of gossip. First of all, rumor. The rumor mill. When we think of gossip, this is generally what we think of is somebody passing rumors. Did you hear that John and Sally are having marriage problems? Did you hear about that? Did you hear whatever it is? Sometimes rumor is, now I'm not sure if this is correct or not, but this is what I heard. Crazy, right? You don't know what you're talking about. Shut your mouth. Shut my mouth. Rumor is unverified information of uncertain origin. I don't even know where I got this from, but I have to tell you anyway. Usually spread by word of mouth or hearsay. The internet is full of it if you didn't know that. Your workplace is full of it if you did not know that. I hope not, but I'm afraid possibly our church is full of that if you did not know that. Slander. This is when rumors get ugly. In all actuality, almost every rumor has the propensity to be slander. Slander is defamatory statements that injure the reputation or thoughts about another person, a malicious statement or report. Usually, when we think of slander, we think of it's purposeful. And I would say probably most of the time it is purposeful. We know what we're doing. We know that by saying this, it's going to cause Angela to think a little bit differently of Kara, because I'm going to tell her something about Kara, and it's going to change her opinion. It's going to change her opinion so that I look better in her eyes than Kara, or it's I don't really get along with Kara, therefore I don't want her to get along with Kara either. We may not think of it when we're spreading this, when we're saying stuff about people, but it's down in us because we took that morsel and it went down in our inmost being. And it's doing stuff in our minds and in our souls. Jesus summed up the greatest commandments with two: love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. If the enemy, Satan, can destroy one or the other, he's got both of them. They're inseparable. If I am not loving my neighbor, my friend, Dana, Lynn, Jamie, as myself, I'm not truly loving God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. So slander is dangerous. Slander isn't always, in my opinion, on purpose even. Or better stated, you don't completely understand what you're doing. You're not out to necessarily ruin somebody, but you are out to change somebody else's mind. And you are out to change their mind about you as well, that you somehow look knowledgeable. You somehow look better than the other individual. It's kind of a lifeboat mentality. If you're going down in a ship, the Titanic, hope that doesn't ruin it for anybody, Titanic went down. If you're on the Titanic, there was few lifeboats. And so who went first? The women and the children. But then after that, they're trying to say why it's important that I'm on that lifeboat and not you. And that's really what slander does for us. This is what Proverbs says. Proverbs 10, 18 through 21. He who conceals his hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. When words are many, sin is not absent. Man, what a great rule of thumb. If you're talking a lot or you're listening a lot, there just might be sin involved. But he who holds his tongue is wise. That's something that's throughout the book of Proverbs. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. We think it is. We think it's a nice, beautiful, choice morsel. It's poison. It's of little value to the kingdom of God. The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of judgment. Instead of being nourished, they're being poisoned. Matthew 18, verses 15 through 18. Why don't you turn there? We talked about this 2 weeks ago when we discussed conflict. Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 18. This is the portion of scripture that Jesus gives us for conflict resolution. And I told you when we talked about gossip, I was going to bring it back up again. Let's read it real quick, verses 15 through 18. If your brother sins against you, if he talks about you, if he looks at you wrong, if he doesn't do something he's promised you to do, if he has offended you in any way, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. This is where slander comes in, because 9 times out of 10, we forget about doing this, or we don't want to do this. It's not appealing to us. There's a morsel in front of our face. We have an opportunity to tell somebody else about how much we're ticked off, about how much this person has hurt us, harmed us, has offended us. And so we even sometimes do this in disguise. I'll go to Charlie and say, Charlie, I just want to talk to you about something. Jason, so this is what happened. This is what Jason said to me. This is what Jason did to me. Now, what do you think? Do I have a reason to be offended? What do you think? That's bogus. If you're offended, you're offended. You don't need Charlie or somebody else to tell you you're offended. What has just now happened is I have told my side of it, not Jason's side of it, my side of it about what Jason did to me. And now it has changed Charlie's opinion of Jason. I'm trying to get him on my side. And all under the disguise of, well, you know, I want to, if it's stupid, I just want to drop it. So I really want to know for sure if it's really even worth doing. It's worth doing if you're offended. Always, 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 because you want to get out of that prison. And you need to gain a brother. You need to go to that person and say, this is what you did. Listen, I probably shouldn't have taken it that way, but this is the way I took it, and I wanted to talk to you about it. Guys, always, 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 always do that. Please. Trust me, 95% of your conflicts, 95% of your enemies will be gone if you would just do that. In pastoring, this is what I deal with more than anything else. It's he said, she said, they hurt my feelings. I know I'm being a little sensitive, right? When I can't help but to think, because I know myself and the times that I've done it, part of my motive was to tell them, look how bad this person is. So go directly person to person. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. Good. Don't get anybody else involved. It's done. You don't even need to say it to anybody else. It's nobody's business. It doesn't make you look any better. It makes you look like a tattletale. By the way, that really works with a group of first graders. Nobody wants to be a tattletale of first graders. But we shouldn't either. But if he will not listen, then take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. You're not taking along people that don't like Jason anyway. You're not taking along, man, I see a lot of people really revere him and look up to him. Let's fix that. That is not the purpose. The purpose is reconciliation. That is always the goal. If he still doesn't listen to the two or three witnesses and you're going to him again face to face, then, says verse 17, if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church, or in other words, bring up leaders into this. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, then treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. In other words, sever a relationship. You guys just shouldn't be together. Don't take it any further. Still forgive, but you just need to part ways. And that's how God wants us to deal with conflict. That's how God wants us to deal with offense. I just want to read verse 18 as well. This is a portion of scripture that's always taken out of context, always taken out of the subject matter. Verse 18, I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth, oh yeah, come on, that's juicy right there, will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Is there a spiritual connotation? No doubt. Could this be used in spiritual warfare? No doubt. By the way, Ephesians says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities in high places. So when we're having problems with our fellow man, with our friends, or with our enemies, it is spiritually involved, no doubt. But really what this is talking about is that we are to reflect the will of God, not generate it. So in other words, if that's bound, and gossip is bound in heaven, then it should be bound on earth. I don't have to generate that. God already said it. I need to reflect it. So it's not this powerful thing to go up to Jason and go, I bind you in the name of Jesus. No, reflect what Jesus has already done. He has already bound. He has already said, I forbid gossip. Some more morsels of gossip. You ready for some other flavors? Innuendo. Subtle insinuations that can mislead others into thinking wrong thoughts or to jump to wrong conclusions. Things like this. Isn't it kind of weird that John never comes out when we do a worship night? Why am I saying that out loud? Because I want my hearer to go, yeah, what's John's problem? Does he not love God? Does he not worship? Is he too good for us? And we do this all the time. Isn't it strange? Or how about this one? Wow. Teddy Jason. Hetty and Jason really good along together. They really seem to hit it off. I wonder how Scott and Corinne feel about that. Why are are you saying that? Because you're trying to insinuate, you're trying to sow seeds to make your hearer think, wow, maybe something inappropriate is going on there. That's gossip of the worst form. We need to stop that, church. If you're thinking thoughts, hold them to yourself. Take them to God. Proverbs 26:20 says, without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. I love some translations say, where there is no whisperer, whisper all the time. So what do you think about that? Wonder why he answered you like that. Wasn't his expression a little bit odd during that meeting? What's that all about? Why are we saying that? Because we want the other person to be looked down on. Here's the one I believe that the Lord has laid on my heart the most to talk to you this morning, is mocking. When we think of mocking, we generally think of making fun of or imitating. Like the proverbial, the mother is scolding the other child and the siblings in the back going, copying the pattern. And it, mimicry is certainly a part of mocking. But it's deeper, it's more horrible. Mocking is to ridicule, criticize. Guys, I don't normally say from stage a prophetic word. It's not to say that preaching doesn't bring about prophecy, does not bring about the prophetic word, because the prophetic word is when God brings something on time. It was needed right then and there. It's a powerful word. That happens even when I don't realize it. But sometimes, and very infrequently, so much so that when it does happen, I want you to take it serious. I believe this is a prophetic word for our congregation, that we have somehow allowed a critical spirit to get into us, to get into certain individuals, that causes chatter, that causes talking, that causes criticizing, that causes complaining. It's an abomination before the Lord because it sows dissension. It's mocking. Mocking is to ridicule, criticize, or scorn someone or something. Many times to make yourself, your performance, or your group look better to others. We criticize the way somebody does something because it's different than the way we do it. And by doing so, we show the person we're saying this to that our way is the right way. Our way is the most godly way. Our way is the most pure way. All the while, completely disintegrating anything good that we're doing. Proverbs 21:24 says, mockers are proud and haughty. They're right. They are right. The others are wrong. I can criticize the church. I can criticize the minister. I can criticize the individual because I am superior in some way. I have heard from God and they have not. And they act with boundless arrogance, the scripture says. Proverbs 15:12 says, mockers resent correction because they're already right. They're already haughty. They're already proud. If this is what's going on in your soul this morning, this maybe is bouncing off because you resist correction because in your mind you are right anyway. I would ask that you would allow the Spirit of God to speak. Mockers resent correction, so they avoid the wise. Psalm 1:1, deviate from Proverbs for a moment. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. Church, some of us are guilty of sitting in the seat of mockers. We're Monday morning armchair quarterbacks that is criticizing other thing. We would have done it differently. an abomination before the Lord because it sows discord. And we can't stop running our mouth to others so that they can hear our opinions and so that we can get somebody to agree with us. The Holy Spirit is grieved by that. Gossip is damaging. The prophet Isaiah can see a glimpse of the glory of Jesus sitting on his throne, and the first thing he realizes is, I've got a messed up mouth. We can know how damaging gossip is. Proverbs 16:27 through 28. A scoundrel plots evil, and his speech is like a scorching fire. A scorching fire is a red hot, white hot fire that spreads. A perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. God's heart is for unity. Always has, always will be. The enemy's heart is to divide. Always has been, always will be. Think about your actions. Think about your words. Think about my actions. Think about my words. Are we unifying or are we tearing apart? Proverbs 25:9-10. If you argue your case with a neighbor, do not betray your neighbor's confidence. Or he who hears it may shame you and you will never lose your bad reputation. Church, there's a time for repentance. God wants us to stop doing this. He wants us to go before him and say, I am so sorry. You are holy. Touch my lips. They are unclean. And repenting, I don't want to do that any longer. But we also have to realize the toothpaste is out of the tube. The words have already been spoken. They have already done damage. We have to realize that for the next time. We're so hungry. We want that morsel so bad. We're itching to tell something. You'll never lose your bad reputation. People will always be wary of you. That's not to scare you. That's to reveal the whole counsel of God to you. I'd like to have the worship team come back up. So what do we do about it? First, Proverbs 20:19 says, a gossip betrays a confidence, once again. So avoid a man who talks too much. If somebody's gossiping, if somebody is running their mouth about somebody else, if somebody's criticizing, somebody's mocking, just stay away from them. Please feel free to rebuke them, to correct them in love, but then get away. If they don't listen to you, get away from them. Don't be poisoned. Proverbs 24:28-29. Do not testify against your neighbor. Real easy. Just stop doing it. Without cause. There's a time, the court of law, when an incident happens that you need to testify. You need to give your account of what happened. There is a time for it. But without cause, stop it. Or use your lips to deceive. Do not say, I'll do to him as he has done to me. Many times our lips are free to talk about somebody else because they have hurt us. So therefore we will hurt them. That's not God's heart. I'll pay back that man what he did. Last scripture, Proverbs 11:9-13. Go ahead and play. With his mouth, the godless destroys his neighbor. The godless. But through knowledge, the righteous escape. The godless don't watch their mouth, and they destroy their neighbor. The righteous, through knowledge, escape. This morning, that's what this message, that's what this teaching is all about. To give us knowledge. Knowledge from the Word of God, so that we might escape. Can we take that escape route? Can we listen to what the Word of God is saying? Will you stand with me? I want to lead us in a prayer. And I'm going to have bullet points on the screen as I've been doing for this series. So I encourage you to look at the bullet points, then close your eyes again. Whatever it is that enables you to be the least distracted and to also be able to follow along as well. And my prayer is that we make this genuine. That this is our prayer. This is your individual prayer before God. It's not just because a church is standing up doing it together. Our prayer for gossip, first of all, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we, through your word, got a glimpse of your Son on the throne, high and lifted up. Lord, we too say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You are far greater than we are. Lord, I ask that the desire for these morsels, the desire for gossip, the desire to inflict harm with our mouths would cease in the name of Jesus. Lord, that it just would not appeal to us. Lord, that just like the last scripture we read, that through this knowledge we would escape. We want to be righteous, Lord. We do not want to be godless. Father, I ask that you would give us better judgment, better understanding. Lord, that again, just as Isaiah saw a glimpse of you sitting on the throne, we would be able to see a glimpse of the other person. The other person that may have hurt us. Or a glimpse of maybe even into the future of what we might say, what we really desperately want to say, that we just, it's itching inside of us, what damage it would cause. Give us better understanding, better judgment, that we would continue to do that. Lord, help us to find better friends and to be better friends, not betray confidence. Lord, if we're surrounded by people at work that just talk, 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 show us ways to change the situation. If we're unable to change it, help us to get away. Lord, we do not want to be poisoned. We do not want to continue to put ourselves in the candy store, in the place where all these morsels are that would tempt us. Lord, help us to be better friends. Lord, that we would realize that we are not a friend at all unless we're willing to die for our friend. Somebody who's willing to die is not willing to kill with our words. Lord, check our motive. Why do we say the things that we do? Why do we share the information that we do? Lord, I'm convinced you are much more concerned with our heart than our actions. As vile as the actions are, you hate it that it's in our heart. Change our motives. Show us what they are. Lord, help us to avoid those who talk to us. Lord, that we may honor you with everything that we are, everything that we say, Lord, that we would honor you. Cleanse our lips, Lord. Take the coal from the altar of God, the live coal that represents your presence. Touch our lips. In Jesus' name, amen.